usually a lot more?
Oh, members, you mean?
Yeah.
We, for the numbers that we have to deal with, we split the board up, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so my name is Jackie Murphy, and I'm the chair of this meeting. We're here to hear the case of parcel ID 76-017010, followed by seven zeros. And the address is 605 Braylock Road, and the property owner is Derek Davis, Revocable Trust. And maybe, do we want everybody to introduce themselves?
Yes, that'd be good. I'm Julie Grader.
Peg Dillon.
Charlie Capello.
Tom Yazwitz.
And I'm Liam Murphy. Don't think we're related, except probably way back.
Maybe. I mean,
yeah.
We're a dime a dozen, right? Murphys, we're everywhere.
Do you know where your family's from?
I can never remember it.
Okay.
I've been there, but I can't remember. It's terrible. And it is my maiden name, but I didn't take my husband's name because Murphy is easier to spell. Yeah. So I'll ask the appellant and assessor to state their names for the record also.
Robert Vickery, Town and Colchester Assessor.
Leah Murphy, representing Derek Davis Revocable Trust.
And I'm asking you and the assessor to take the following oath. Under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you give in the cause under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And have you, Liam, received a copy of the rules of procedure, and do you have any questions about how the hearing will proceed?
I have, and I do not.
Do any of the BCA members have any conflicts of interest or any ex parte communications?
No, we don't.
Okay, Bob, we briefly introduced the property on appeal by describing the property and its present valuation.
This property is located at 605 Braylock East. The property is a single family home on 10 acres of land. The original assessed value on the grand list was $2,342,680. That was appealed to the Board of Listers on June 22nd. The Board of Listers did reduce the value to $1,918,180.
Okay. Mr. Murphy, will you please present your evaluation and supporting evidence? You have 10 minutes to do so.
Yeah. Okay. Let me
Thank you.
So just for orientation, the top property is the tax map, obviously. It has 450 feet of frontage. And then there's obviously some land in back. I apologize, these pictures sort of are not out in the order that I wanted them, but anyway, the issue really is about the land value, the front footage. We do not dispute the assessed value of the house or the buildings on the property. The value that is currently assessed after the listers is $1,918,800. The building value is $448,000, leaving a value of $1,470,800 for the value of the property. The primary issue we have is that we think that the land is overvalued, particularly because of the lake frontage itself. If you turn to the third picture, that is a picture of the lakefront there. It's a cliff. There is I show you the bottom half of a set of stairs There, I believe, are 84 stairs going up to the property. And then the second picture is sort of when you hit the top of the stairs, you can still see that you have to go up a bit to get to the property. And I apologize, it looks like the fourth picture and the second picture are the same. So the real, you know, it comes down to value, and you may have just heard, I know the town does a front foot value based upon the front footage, and there's a calculation that the town has, and obviously the smaller amount of footage you have, the higher the per foot value, and then it goes down as you get larger. But when you get a 450 foot property here, if the value is allocated to the property, I try to do this analysis, and unfortunately I just found out from Bob is that I don't have all of the information. I only have the calculation of the front footage from the first 200 feet. But in this case, with 450 feet and an assessed value of $1.7 million, there's the valuation is at $3,200 a foot, and that based upon the front foot factor, that would put it really as the same value as a property as 85 to 90 feet here, and it should go down. I mean, there's a factor, as you can see. The factor is that it's a front footage of 3,000 times the footage value times this curve factor, and that factor should keep going down. So we think that just purely that the valuation is overstated, because even on a front foot value, it's overstated. But then there really should be a significant adjustment for the cliff. This is, these front footage are all done whether you're a sandy beach or your cliff. And, I think anybody buying the property would be deterred from because of the cliff and the amount of steps that are going down. It just would make it less valuable. So my client thinks that, last year was valued at $990,000. He thinks it should be at $1,350,000. It's all about the frontage. And I recognize that we have to schedule a site visit, and we'd like to do that and then give you a chance to see what it looks like and then evaluate from there. And that's it. Who says lawyers are windy?
Bob, did you want to go ahead before we ask questions?
Sure. I apologize for not getting. I should realize that I needed second pages. So just really quickly, it appears that the front foot value for the 451 feet of frontage we have at 2,039 feet per foot, which is lower as you go down the scale of assessed value per front foot.
Can you just say anything about it? Think of the number.
The value that we have per front foot is $2,039. And that's adjusted for the neighborhood. Braylock East is considered an above average neighborhood. So there is a multiplier on that, increasing that land value based on the location of town. And then there is a condition factor of 65% good or 35% depreciated because of the topography or the steepness of the lake frontage. So we do take into account the cliff. Just on that note, just anecdotal, back in 2011, the property was appealed to the Board of Civil Authorities, and Joyce Sweeney county level steps. You mentioned the number of steps, you reminded me of Joyce.
You can decide which one you're going to walk down, not the steps this time.
But she came back and mentioned the number of steps. So what we've presented to you, just to back up the value that we have here in town of the $1,918,000 is a sales grid based on recent sales in the town of Colchester of lakefront properties. And the first sale, 473 Orchard Shore Road, is interesting because this just occurred in May. And is sold for $2,255,000. One thing that stands out at me is that it is a larger lot of land on Orchard Shore with 200 feet of frontage. So that is a good comparison. I think the Orchard Shore is more of a bluff as opposed to a steep cliff. But again, it's elevated above the lake. The other two would be 115 Moonlight Ridge, which sold for $1.4 million in 2023. This particular property sold with a house on it. The property owner, after purchasing the property, decided that the house was not in good enough shape and basically rebuilt the home. So we would consider that a land value sale. And then the 1753 Marble Island Road, which sold in 2024 for $1.8 million. This particular property is a smaller lot, only 2 acres, but it is on cliff. It's pretty much straight cliff to the water with 215 feet of frontage. So I believe the land values are very comparable when you look at the three different lots here of land. But when we make adjustments for the size, make adjustments for the building, we do have a median adjusted sale price of $1,813,571. And the assessed value is $1,918,000. So it's very similar. Is that 1% off or 10% off? So if you have any questions.
So if you had given Liam the full chart, we would see that the 2,039 per front foot.
Yeah, the chart continues down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to get that.
Yeah.
And I went back on site and there's not a new card, right? At least on the.
Not on the site, no.
But you just gave me one.
Yep.
Okay. Obviously, where would I find the neighborhood adjustment here?
Right here.
Where's that?
Right here.
Okay, I see it. Yeah, all right. So, you know, I don't understand the neighborhood adjustment of increasing the value by 60% over something like Marble Island. Here, these homes are unlikely to ever be able to be year-round homes. The narrowness of the driveway in there, if they don't control, they don't have it's an historic area, clearly, and it is a lovely area, but the roads are based upon historic use. There's no 50-foot wide right-of-ways. Somebody I think came here that the fire department probably would have say that they'd have to widen the road, and they don't have the right to widen the roads on this. And this will come up again in the next. So I don't think it's reasonable to say that because of the Braylock neighborhood, that you get to increase the footage by 60%. The other comment is, I don't know, Bob, are these comparables, three comparables, year-round houses?
They are now, yes.
Yeah, so, and this is a summer camp. It's not a year-round house. So anyway, and also I guess I would note just on a very minor that the Board of Listers' decision is 1.918180, and the mean and median of these three are less than that, just there. So I mean, just on that basis, there should be some reduction. But I would, you know, I would, I know that we have to have a site inspection, and after that we'll come back, and hopefully by then I can have that full chart and have a further discussion with you about that.
It's a summer home by choice, or if you wanted to live in it, could you?
Year round? I do not believe so. I think under the, and I have not confirmed this with the town, but I can between now and the next time, or you can, that I think if they tried to change it from a summer home, a seasonal dwelling, to a year-round dwelling, they would have to get approval of the town to do that.
They have town water?
Oh gosh, no.
No.
No, they're way out there. They have a septic system. Yeah. And they would have to improve their septic system. Whether they can do that, I don't know. But that's usually the limit, one of the limiting factors in, you know, all of these, most of these homes are older homes and they're pre-existing wastewater rolls. And if you have to go from from seasonal to year round, you have to go now and get a permit to do that. And whether that's capable or not, I don't know.
The owner disputing just $100,000?
No. Our suggestion is that it's $1.35 million
for the land.
No, total. For the property.
For the total.
For the total property. Yes.
And it's at 1.9. Now.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah.
Bob, is your valuation highest best use seasonal or year round?
We're actually assessing the building as conventional, which we can indicate that's year-round use. There's also a garage or the apartment over it, auxiliary property that was built in 2021, or 2001, I'm sorry. So I'd be curious to see what the wastewater permit says. I don't have that with me, but that would be something that would be helpful to have.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Any other questions, anybody? So, Mr. Murphy, before we conclude, I wanted to let you know, because you talked about meeting up again. The board decided on the rules of procedure, and we are not meeting again to hear more testimony after today. So, if you...
I thought the statute required you having a... I just went through this in Sherwin. I thought that you have to have a site inspection and then have a site inspection report within 30 days at a hearing, and an opportunity at that hearing for the appellant to reply to at least the site inspection. That's my understanding.
And in reviewing with our board and our legal support, they said that we didn't have to save time and be able to get through these hearings by December 1st. So I don't know. I mean, those are the rules that we set for before we started this process back in February, March timeframe. And that's the way that it was done back in 2011 as well. So I'm not sure, but I wanted to make you aware of it, because I recognize that you are made statements that when we come back and you have a chance to submit again. And I know you did that back in previous cases.
I just went through this in Shelburne, and that, it seemed clear to me and to them that they have to have a hearing to have the report of the committee and an opportunity to reply to the report. That's my understanding.
Okay.
But if if you...
I will do my due diligence and get clarification for our own purposes.
It's really on that, you know...
Oh, no, no, I understand.
I just, that's all.
Any other questions?
Any other questions? Yeah. So the inspection committee will be in contact with you to inspect the property within 2 weeks. The inspection committee is to verify property in regards to testimony heard today, along with the assessor's property record card information. So we'll recess to a date and time, not more than 30 days from the hearing, to accept the inspection committee report. And I understand you're representing the next case as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So is it best to contact you or...
Yeah, I'll send you this. I'll copy them.
For the scheduled inspection? Okay.
Works there.
Okay.
So he's local, so we can go ahead.
So
do we want to move on? Next, right back. Everybody ready for that?
Everybody good?
Okay.
So the next hearing is on parcel number 76-001-000, followed by seven zeros, and the property owner is Ian Davis, being represented by Liam Murphy. Since you already took the oath, I don't think we need to do that again, right? And so I'm not going to repeat all the questions I asked. I'm just going to ask Bob to briefly introduce the property on appeal by describing the property and its present valuation.
Sure. This property is located at 822 Braylock Road. It is roughly 8 acres. It is a single-family dwelling. The assessment prior to the board lister hearings was $2,699,240. The assessment after the board lister hearings, they made a change, was $2,369,840.
And thank you for adding the address. I realize I neglected to do that. So for the record, it's now recorded. And Mr. Murphy, can you please present your valuation and supporting evidence in 10 minutes?
Again, this is in the Braylock neighborhood. And again, the issue is not no contest on the building value, but again, on the land value. As you can see from this property, you know, the property is effectively the width of a right of way, except until it gets to the very end of the property. There are some pictures here, an aerial photo of it, where you can see the road and the house coming in. Picture of the lake. Again, it's a cliff, but certainly not at all as much as Rick Davis's cliff, but still not a sandy beach. And the last picture is a picture down again, down over the rail to the lake shore. Here, the obviously the length of the entire lakefront is 2,300 feet. There was already an adjustment made to make it an effective, 850 feet effective lake frontage.
843.
Don't know how we came up with that from before, but that's what the frontage was. But again, this is a question of the front foot value. Again, this is a seasonal dwelling. It would be very difficult to convert this into a year-round dwelling because, again, of the narrowness of the road, and in this case also potentially the inability to get wastewater from the property. Again, on the thoughts that I provided to you earlier, again, we just had the 200 foot value, but again, it was a, sorry, I have to find my, my own chart here. I have 10 copies of it in here, far away. So, you know, this, this does have this implied of, you know, 2,300 and 28 dollars a front foot, and you know, it's unclear because I didn't have the full chart, but you know, there's, that's an implied multiplied factor again of that that goes down, and I'm I just don't think there is the justification that once you get above a few hundred feet, whether it's 200 feet or whatever, that the additional feet really add value when people are buying lakeshore property. So my client believes that this lakefront property, again, the land is overvalued. The value that the listers have it at is $2,069,840. The building on the property is $407,100, leaving a land value of $1,962,740. And again, we think that there's just not a justification that that land value would sell for that in the open marketplace. And my client believes that the overall value of the property is $1,650,000. And while I have the floor, let me say, you know, I do have three more of these coming up in September. I think it would be helpful if the board suggested that the assessor and the appellant exchange their exhibits a couple of days in advance, because, you know, I'm seeing what Bob's sending me just as you are, without any ability to react to it. So, you know, I think it would help the process if we, you know, I provided Bob provided me our exhibits a couple of days before hearing.
That was something that I offered for you to give us the information ahead of time in via email with you or your staff. That was available. So
I don't mind giving it to you, but
Bob would be willing to give it to you too. We've talked about that.
We've done this enough times.
Oh yeah.
We both know what our issues are, and I think we'd rather sort things out on the facts than, you know, me speculate. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. So, Bob.
Any questions from the BCA members?
I guess I just, you know, when you say that the appellant values it at, you know, this number of $1,650,000, primarily in the land, how is that number derived, or why, you know?
It's just my client's feeling that the, you know, that if he were to put it on the market, that that's what he would be able to get from selling the property, and also somewhat related to the value in the last assessment was $1,000,001, and you know, he felt that it, you know, went up by, you know, 50%. That was also, you know, a feeling of reasonable increase over the years since the last assessment.
Jackie, would you like me to present our evidence?
I'm sorry?
Would you like the town to present our evidence?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I have this list of things, but the list is not, yeah. Please do. Thank you, Bob.
So just quickly go over the assessment as it's currently assessed. It is a peninsula lot, and typically what we do with peninsula lots is we don't actually measure the entire way around the peninsula. Otherwise, you're going to have 2,000 feet of frontage, and you're going to be overvaluing. And the idea is that there's a front of the parcel, two sides, and a back to most parcels. And so the front, two sides, and a back, then you look at the effective frontage. So the estimate on the effective frontage is 843 feet. That's basically the front of the peninsula. So as it's measured, you come around. Come around right through here, where the house sits here, and the frontage would be this area here. So that's how we measure it. You'll see that in many other assessments throughout the town on peninsula lots. We have quite a few lots like that in town. The approach is the same with all of them. There's no specific set formula. Because each one's unique and different. The other issue with this is it's really kind of a spaghetti lot. It's a very narrow lot. It is 7.6 acres. So it is a lot of acreage, but it's very narrow. And as you drive down the driveway, you'll see, drops down to the lake on one side. That's the whole driveway. So we did make an adjustment of 0.5%. On that acreage, the 5.6 acres above 2 acres. We also did make an adjustment of 40% on the frontage, given the topography of the frontage. It is a unique property. It's one of the few properties where the camp is right on the lake. It's very close to the lake, and having those lakefront setbacks and having the building there does add value. Being so close to the lake. So we want to look at the sales grid that we provided. We actually using the same sales as we did with the last property. Again, looking at lakefront properties that have slightly larger acreage than typical and more frontage than typical. And so we're making adjustments on the building, making adjustments on the land based on the subject property, and adjusting to the sale prices to that subject property. We get a median adjusted sale price of $2,407,000, which is just over the assessed value. So again, it's 473 Orchard Shore, 1751 Marble Island, and 1753 Marble Island. I'm sorry. They're just one different than the last one. The 1751 Marble Island, it's got quite a bit of frontage. It is, acts like a peninsula lot. If you look at the map, it's 2.64 acres with 360 feet of frontage. Very, very nice property on ledge. And again, the 473 Orchard Shore is a very large piece of land with a lot of land and 200 feet of frontage. So those are our comparisons. They're the best comparisons we have in town for the subject property. Are there any questions?
Those are year-round houses?
Yes.
Anyone else have any questions for Bob? All right, the inspection committee will be in contact with you to inspect the property within the next 2 weeks. The inspection committee is to verify property in regards to testimony heard today, along with the assessor's property record card information. We'll recess this meeting to a date and time.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I didn't get a chance to come.
I'm sorry.
I didn't get a chance to come.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
So again, these three properties, I'm just looking at the covers myself, so. But they all look very modern, they're year-round homes. I would ask, if possible, that the inspection committee go visit these three properties before visiting or at the same time as visiting the other two. Even do a drive-by to look, because I think, from just looking at the pictures, we're really talking about apples and oranges here in the building value. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, the real question is, what would the properties have sold on the marketplace on April 1st of 2026? So, you know, if you do a drive-by of them and one is, you know, a modern house that you can live in right away, that's a huge factor in what the total fair market value is. And, you know, yes, we're fighting about lakefront versus building and all that, but I look at the building values here and the whole overall thing just doesn't make sense that these are, that this, you know, camp, yes, it's in a spectacular place at the end of a point, but it's a summer camp, and to say that it has the same values as these year-round houses in much more accessible neighborhoods, I would encourage you to try to look at those yourselves. So, thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm just getting this.
No problem.
So, yes, I already talked about the inspection committee. I'm going to recess the meeting to a date and time not more than 30 days from the hearing to accept the inspection committee report. Thank you.
And again, I always thank you all for volunteering to do this, especially in a year with this reassessment.